Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi, Halima.
Hi, Oni.
And hello to the listeners, especially hello to Lily Borg, who left us a beautiful review, which I will read out in a second. Welcome to the Polyester Podcast. I'm Ioni, the founding editor-in-chief of Polyester online, in print, and everywhere else.
And I'm Halima, the community editor of Polyester.
We release weekly episodes with The Sleepover Club 1 week and Obsessions the next. This week it is The Sleepover Club, where Halima and I have all those gorge conversations you'd usually have at a sleepover. And then in a while we will have an Obsessions episode where we talk to someone we admire about something they're obsessed with that has nothing to do with how they generate their income. Hello, Halima. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Ioni.
And here is a lovely thing to start the new year on. A 5-star review all the way from Germany, which is very nice. 5 stars, I only recently started listening to podcasts at all. And since I've been following on Insta for quite a while, I thought, why not check out Polyester Zine's podcast too? It's honestly super relaxing listening to you guys. The topics are always very interesting and up to date. And aside from thinking about serious topics, you sometimes really make me laugh too. Your content is really relatable. Keep up the good work. Looking forward to every episode.
So cute.
How cute.
I love it.
What's your New Year's resolution, Halima?
One of my New Year's resolutions was to be better at the podcast. And I'm failing!
You're not. There's still time.
I said, I'm a community editor of the Polyester podcast. We know what I even say. It? Anyway, I will get better, guys. I promise. What's your New Year's resolution, though?
I don't have any.
Oh, wow. That's fine, too.
I haven't really thought about it.
Normalize not having New Year's resolutions.
Hey, which brings us to, what is the topic today, Halima?
Our topic this week is, we need to stop normalizing things.
Okay, so what does it mean to normalize something?
Okay, so to normalize something is to make it normal or natural in everyday life. And there are certain taboo things that should be considered normal. When things are properly normalized, it helps create a culture of acceptance. That's the definition.
Where's the definition from?
I think it's from like the dictionary. I don't know where I got this from.
So we have the official definition. In the context of social politics, what does it mean to normalize?
I don't know. Do you have it?
Well, no, just as in, like, you know, people are like, we need to normalize being a gorgeous girl, for example, or we need to normalize cutting off your friends, or we need to normalize being silly. I don't know, what's one that's really annoying?
There's one that's like, I don't think this is annoying, but I think this is the one that people snap on Twitter, because obviously this trend seems to come from Twitter. Because people were saying like, oh, you need to normalize going to the cinema by yourself. People were like, people do that, like, what is that, a normal, is that like a non-normal thing?
Yeah, so it's basically things that people feel uncomfortable about that they feel like they shouldn't be uncomfortable for, and it kind of has become like shorthand for being annoying.
Yeah, I think when it was first on Twitter, it was quite, at first it was really earnest. It was like, we need to normalize this and that, and something that people thought was taboo. And I think, like, as things happen on the internet with most trends, it's got annoying.
But is it annoying because it's become ironic, or is it still earnest? I think a lot is most annoying when it's earnest.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think I see it when it's earnest. I'm like, I can see it from two points of view. Like, when people were talking about the whole, like, normalized going to the cinema by yourself, and people were like, that's annoying because people do that. Like, it's not a taboo thing. It's not a repression or marginalization at all. Then I was like, but I can see it in the earnest point of view. Because I remember when I was at uni, I used to love going to the cinema myself. and now I'm back home, I don't go swimming by myself because I feel shame. And I'm like, why?
Why do you feel shame? What's the difference?
I don't know. I feel like I felt really free in my uni town. I don't feel as free in my hometown.
Okay.
So I think, but then again, I like when I saw that tweet again, when I was thinking about this topic, I was like, if I had that, I think it's a nice little reminder, especially now I'm back home, that I can still do that even if I don't feel as free here. So like, I don't know if I'm just deeping it.
I don't know. I feel like it takes really inane things and tries to make them political. Like going to cinema by yourself isn't a political act. No offense, Salima.
It's my oppression. I don't
So like, what would normalize eating a snack? Or whatever, especially over January, I feel like loads of it will be like normalize not dieting, normalize blah 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 whatever. Basically, I feel like the trend of normalizing, I have many problems with it. Let's start with the first one.
Okay,
it offers a problem without suggesting anything that will help. Like,
that's true.
If you say like normalize. I don't know. I just keep thinking of the worst, stupidest things.
I have one actually that relates to this, what you're saying. One of the things that somebody was saying was normalized, like being a virgin, for example.
Mm.
And they just say that statement. And I'm like, but I think it's a deeper thing than you saying normalize being a virgin. Like,
right.
We need to go further with our sexual education, or people are still hung up on the fact that they haven't had sex.
Yeah.
Or like that, like, virginity is a social construct. So it goes farther than just being like normalize being a virgin. Like, deconstruct this idea of virginity you have in your head. But as you said, there's no solution to it. People just say normalize being a virgin, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it like allow it's part of like a bigger problem, that which is just like very meaningless platitudes that make people feel like they are thinking or doing something that they're actually not, like.
Uh-huh.
So if you see like normalized virginity or whatever, then you'll be like, yeah, true, but then you feel like you've done your thinking for the day. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, that's the, you know, that too, that's like, I love women, activism done for the day.
Exactly, like, exactly, wow. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's the same, like, definitely it was a Twitter thing, and then it can be transferred to something on Instagram, which is like, you know, the like 10 signs you're living with a narcissist. And it's just like all these things that are so depoliticized and just like have no meaning or context, like, uh-huh. But people can latch onto because it makes, they can apply their own context to it. Do you know what I mean?
Defo. Do you think that sometimes, you know, people say, oh, normalize this thing, they're actually normalizing something really dangerous? I think that you also see that side on things like Twitter and Instagram as well.
What's an example?
I think there was one where, like, is her name, like, is it Bad Barbie?
Yeah.
She's really young, and I think she started an OnlyFans, and I don't think she was 18. I actually don't know her age, but I think around the time she started an OnlyFans, and people were counting down the days where she turned 18 so they could join.
Oh my God.
OnlyFans. And people were like, well, normalize it because like women have like a sexual liberation, like I'm a woman, blah, 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 or whatever. But like, why are you normalizing that? She's a child. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's like, so for example, like what I was saying about the point before is that there are these things on the internet that feel like personal statements, but it allows like huge amounts of people to latch onto that.
Oh.
When really not. So like, for example, with that example, it's like, yeah, normalizing that gives a lot of people excuses for their bad behavior. Yeah. Whereas like, what does normalizing sex work actually look like? It doesn't look like men feeling okay about like counting down to someone coming of age. Like, and what does normalizing even mean? Like, what does normalizing do to someone, for something or someone? Like, I'm very, very suspicious of that in general. Like, if people say, like, I mean, a really good example, I suppose, is like normalizing stretch marks, like how we had that whole thing like 5 years ago or whatever, or like normalizing roles, normalizing whatever you're going to normalize. In terms of bodies, like, normalize having short eyelashes. It's like, it doesn't actually normalize those things, but it makes people feel like they're not a problem anymore in terms of how they react to that or whatever.
Yeah, you're so right when you mentioned the whole, like, people mention something and there's no solution to it. Because I remember when people were talking about the whole stretch mark things, people were like, my stretch marks are like my tiger stripes or whatever, or they're beautiful or whatever. And one of my friends was saying the other day, like, all those things that people try and make beautiful, do they have to be beautiful? Does everything have to be categorized as beautiful around this kind of like
I think it should be, but I think I wrote an article about this. So I think basically a problem is that, like, when we say normalize, we're saying normalize. We are not saying make beautiful. Do you know what I mean? We're saying, like, make that be normal, whether it's like, yeah, body image or like a certain facial feature or whatever, color hair, like normalize ginger acceptance is something very close to my heart. So by normalizing them, what I mean is, like, we're basically, yeah, like, scrubbing them of any political irrelevance or oppression that has, like, if you feel like you've normalized something, then you can never feel like you can, like, have bad feelings or oppress someone because of that, which is untrue. And I think in the context of beauty, the only reason that we think why does everything have to be beautiful is because our idea of beauty is so, like, hung up in, like, cis hetero patriarchal ideals, westernized ideals, that by saying, well, this thing can't be beautiful, we're basically just, like, accepting that beauty has to be really narrow. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, it's not as if you have to look at everything and adore it, but I think we overestimate how difficult it is to find things beautiful. Do you know what I mean? Like, we think, oh, it's so difficult. Like, that's why the normalizing thing is annoying as well, because it's like, oh, we have to normalize it because it's such a stretch to, like, think of it as anything that's, like, exceptional or actually good or worthy or whatever. So instead we just normalize it, so we think, you know, we're fine with the fact it exists. But it's like, we only think that way because we're accepting the, like, status quo of beauty as the only type of beauty that can exist.
When did you write this?
Last year.
Oh god, he snapped. Yeah, damn, that's so true.
Like, I think obviously loads of people see beauty as a trap for so many reasons, but beauty should be, like, liberatory. Like, beauty is a lovely thing. Like, we all want it in our lives, like, whether it's in our houses or in the clothes we wear or, like, in, like, the way we love our pets or, like, TV shows or whatever. We think they're beautiful for, like, different reasons that aren't just aesthetic. So then why, when we apply that to, like, ourselves or others, the way they look, we suddenly have to see it as this restrictive thing? Like, why can't we reframe it as something that is just, like, fun?
Very true. You made me think. I only gamble.
What can I say?
Yeah, damn.
But this is why I hate normalizing.
Yeah.
Because what are you normalizing it in the context of? You're normalizing it in the context of, like, a society that hates you. Cool.
That's so fucking true. There is an example. There was this TikToker. I can't remember his name. I don't really. Yeah, TikTok is cool. But I don't really remember his name. But there's this fella who was accused of appropriating queer aesthetics. Listen to our other podcast about what's called?
Queerbaiting.
Queerbaiting. But he was accused of appropriating queer aesthetics because he often is seen wearing, like,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
pearl necklaces and putting his like nails or whatever. And the fellow was like, he wanted to use his privilege as like a straight white cis man to help normalize queer aesthetics for the LGBTQ plus community. That was when he was asked, that's what he wanted to do. And he faced like a lot of intense backlash because like people were like, it's not your place to take control of a narrative that you don't like belong in. Like, it's not your place to normalize our aesthetics or whatever. And it makes me think in many ways, like, I mean, people hate when men try and exist outside of the patriarchy, for one. But like, it makes me think as well, like, what does it mean to take something that's like a subculture and make it normal? Or like, what does it mean to be normal in a racist, such as a sexual patriarchal society, like you said, like making things that don't want to be normal? Like, how many LGBTQ plus people want to be considered normal? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think we basically I think it's a trap that a lot of marginalized people that like proudly exist as part of their communities kind of fall into, like whether it's like feminism or queerness or like gender nonconformity or basically anything, in that like, yeah, so much of your life does exist outside of this normal, but then we still kind of like have these goalposts that like covertly exist under that, but we still seek acceptance from. So whether it's like the feature in that magazine that's actually like a fucking piece of shit, or whether it's like, you know, there are some queer people obviously that do just want to like be considered normal and want the like wedding, kids, mortgage, normal office job, and that's okay. But so much of queerness exists outside of that. So it is kind of like this fight, isn't it? Like the desire to be seen and understood. I think that gets confused with the normalization thing quite a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's more prominent with our generation and on social media, where it's like, we're so desperate to be seen and understood that like, yeah, we confuse that for normality, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I wrote an article, well, not an article, but like when I did my undergraduate degree, I wrote an essay about the difference between LGBTQ plus activism between white and black people. Well, like not white and people of color. One of the things that we're looking at was, well, it was the human rights narrative of LGBTQ plus rights,
mm-hmm.
which is like the way people have been fighting for the human rights of LGBTQ plus people, mm-hmm. like throughout history. But how a lot of like activists of color don't necessarily subscribe to the human rights narrative. Mm-hmm. Instead, like, because I'm trying to remember what I even said, but it was more so the fact that they were like, but don't we want more than what human rights is described as in a racist, heterosexual, patriarchal society. Like, human rights, when we look at it legally, is like you said, marriage, having kids, and being in this kind of nuclear family setting. When a lot of these like activists of color are questioning, don't we want more than mm-hmm. that? Like, a lot of this is quite restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's this quote that's like, being queer saved my life. Often we see queerness as deprivation, but when I look at my life, I saw my queerness demanded an alternative innovation for me.
Mm-hmm.
An alternative route, and made me curious if this is enough for me. So like, I don't know, it makes me think of like when we talk about the normalization of like LGBTQ plus aesthetics, or the normalization of LGBTQ plus people in like our society, it makes you think like, I don't know, normalizing is bad in that regard, because like people want more than what normal offers them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we've kind of gotten lost in that point.
We have, yes.
No, not us. I mean, like, the wider us. Oh,
okay.
I mean...
Okay, yes.
I mean that, like, because everything is this one big soup of, like, where we exist, in that we see everything on the same kind of level, like our political rights, our, like, social desires, our careers, like, if literally just everything is basically the same thing, which I think is one of the things that this, like, meme or, like, idea of normalizing things, it fails us in that respect as well, because it puts like going to cinema on the same level as like, you know, normalize equality of wages or whatever. I don't know, like that's really basic, but you know what I mean.
Mm.
Where they're just like not the same things. Like they're not the same.
Exactly.
And I think we feel quite limited in like imagining a utopian future, I suppose, which is like really understandable because everything is shit.
Uh-huh.
But like, why do we seek to have acceptance and normalization in systems that we don't even like?
Exactly. That's exactly. I love how we make this, like, even from last episode, a meme has become this. Do you know what I mean?
It's deep.
But you're exactly right. It is deep. It is deep. You're right. Here I was being like, I want to go cinema. I like it.
I also just think it's a really twee. I hate, like, the tweeification of issues like this as well. Like, it's a really twee way to talk about serious things. Like, I don't agree with that. Like, I don't think everything has, like, I'm not saying this in an academic sense. Like, things don't have to be academic or difficult. But, like, I think being twee and the way you say things is just a way to normalize things and, like, to make your arguments easily understood to people that, like, exist not to understand you. Like, their whole existence is based on not understanding you. So why do you bother?
It's true. I completely agree.
Oh,
wow.
Never say normalize again.
Never say normalize. People's New Year's resolutions.
Plus, also, there's, like, such, like, there, it's not that I'm against the practice of, you know, putting things out into the world that are abnormal.
Uh-huh.
But I just don't think, like, who are you making things for example? So, like, for example, with Polyester as a publication, like, it has done the things we have been talking about or attempted to, like, you know, showing unnormalized bodies or, like, unnormalized points of view or whatever. But the thing about the normalization meme is that it's, like, you're trying to normalize something for an outside gaze, not the people that it actually refers to, no?
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. I think even in that regard, if imagine if polyester got normalized, that would be so sad.
It's true. It's true.
There's like no, it's true. There's like normalization without any critical thought. But like then again, I guess it's a meme. But like still, you know,
memes are serious.
Memes are serious. I think people. I mean, people do write whole dissertations on memes.
Exactly.
I think, you know, this is what future historians will be doing because all of our traumas, our happinesses, our sadnesses are in memes. This is what future stars will be doing. They'll be piecing apart a SpongeBob meme.
And we're just ahead of the curve.
Ugh, exactly.
Why are you bringing SpongeBob into this?
Because I love SpongeBob memes. I feel like we should do an episode about SpongeBob memes.
No.
Okay. Wow.
I don't like SpongeBob.
I love SpongeBob so much. I feel like I became a comedian because of SpongeBob.
Okay, to end the episode, what are the three things you would like to see normalized in 2022?
Oh, great question. Body hair should be normalized. I'm going to speak like one of those Instagram feminists. Body hair, going to cinema alone, I stand by that. I don't know what else made me think. Talking about periods and period pain.
Alima.
But that's a real one. So for all of mine are real ones because true. I wrote a whole article about how I dropped a tampon in John Lewis. My parents were like, oh, so normalize that. But that was in 2014. But normalize that.
A used tampon or a fresh one?
A fresh one. A fresh one. What about you?
What do I want to normalize? Normalize being an awful, awful girl.
Good one.
Normalize gossip.
Mm-hmm. Like bell hooks, yeah.
Normalize
being a hater.
Yeah.
I think true. Nikki Giovanni Lish wrote her whole interview in the New York Times about being a hater. And like, I completely respect it.
I agree. I was going to bring this up in the episode, but I've also forgotten how I was actually going to relate it to normalization.
Go on.
But I was going to say, I think her obsession with normalization is why the new Gossip Girl reboot is failing.
Is it? Okay, you have to explain.
Well, just in that, like, through normalize, like, this idea of normalizing basically is, like, de-escalating situations, right? So it's, like, it exists in the same school of thought of, like, asking people if they have capacity to be offloaded upon with your, like, sadness or whatever, which I think is not always a bad idea, but the way we talk about it online is shy. And so, like, the original Gossip Girl works because they are all horrible. This goes back to normalize being a horrible, horrible girl.
Mm-hmm.
They're all nasty. So why we love a lot of TV that we like is because they're horrible. But Gossip Girl is trying to play, like, the best of both worlds of, like, being, they're horrible, but then they're, like, asking, oh, do you have the capacity for me to be a heinous bitch to you right now?
Yeah. That's really true.
So, like, everything they do, whereas, like, I was trying to think, I watched the last six episodes yesterday, I was trying to think about it because, like, the whole, like, it seems like also all of the central fights in the new Gossip Girl are, like, between the parents and the kids, or, like, the parents do something wrong and the kids have to react, or vice versa. Like, there's no real internal conflict within the friends that much.
Oh.
And, like, it's never things that are that bad. There's one really bad thing in there. I won't say because of spoilers, but, like, even that's dealt with in a very weird way. But, like, you know, the fucking tension in the new Gossip Girl is, like, oh, Zoya's got a new friend and Juliana's angry. Whereas, like, the tension in the old Gossip Girl was, like, Chuck sold Blair for a hotel.
That's so true. That is so different. I think you're right. Gossip Girl is literally trying to have the best of both worlds, where it's, like, still woke, but, like, also still holding on to, like, some of the nastiness of the original. But, like, you lose it, have one or the other.
Yeah, to be honest.
Especially if you can't do it well, just have one or the other. Yeah, Emily in Paris is better than Gossip Girl reboot, I have to say.
Like, even if you look at something like Euphoria compared, it's like you don't have to be, like, you can do some of the things without making it really cringe.
I haven't never seen Euphoria. I'm really tempted to watch it though.
You should, because the new season's out next week.
True. I'm just scared. I know it's a bit deep.
Yeah, but what's the problem?
I'm a crybaby.
Oh, I don't think you cry. Yeah. I can't remember if I cried. I watched it 2 years ago now.
Fair enough. But no, you're right. Boy, Gossip Girl. They need to step up their game. Season 2. I won't be watching, but everybody else, it steps up for them.
Okay, we will close out the episode now. Let us know your thoughts on normalizing and also the Gossip Girl reboot by leaving us a review or commenting on our Instagram or whatever you want. We will see you next week. Thank you, Halima.
Thank you, Ayoni.
Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you to Olivia and Gina and Gina and Eden and Charlotte and Grace and Tati and Carissa.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.